ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 13. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Everlasting joy shall be upon our world. You know what that means? Everlasting joy. That's what it means. That's not going to stop. You're going to be so lit up, you can't stop smiling. But your cheeks will be strong. So you can just keep on smiling and glowing and living it up in His presence and enjoying all of the dominion restored back to you as kings and priests unto our God. You see, our salvation is not just from sin. It's to a kingdom. You see how that works? We have to recognize it's about a future and a hope. The Bible says he who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. We are going to be like him because we will see him as he is. And the Bible says, for David in verse 36 served his generation and he saw corruption. Verse 37, but Jesus, the one the Father was speaking of, saw no corruption because God raised him up. Be it known unto you, verse 38, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. That means God sends your sins away. He just sends them away. Not just your past ones, but all of them. All of them. Because to God, all time is present. He gives us the remission of sins. Sin shall no more have dominion over you, Romans tells us. The Bible says, therefore, reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin. The Bible says we've been given forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says in verse 39, and by him all that believe are justified. This is a forensic term. It means declared righteous. Not only are you declared not guilty in God's courtroom because you trust Jesus, you're declared righteous. Why? Because his righteousness is placed on your account. Your sin was placed on his account, and the transaction was accepted. And Jesus said, it is paid in full. In our Bibles, it's translated, it is finished. Literally paid in full. So we're justified. The Bible says, beware, verse 40. Now we're back to the scary part of it. Remember, elements got a seasonal judicial blinding. Season, you're going to walk in darkness and blindness. He says, you guys need to beware, though. I'm telling you this up here in Antioch of Pisidia. He says, beware, therefore, lest come unto you what was spoken of in the prophets. Again, another passage. He's given them chapters and verses, and this is in the book of Habakkuk. And the Bible says, behold ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. I like what one translation does with this. It says, behold ye despisers, stand in awe, and perish. He says, you've heard this gospel, you've heard this promise, you've heard this plan that God has, and it is possible that you would walk away and not appropriate it. And when you step into eternity, you're only going to have one thing to expect, and that is to stand in awe. And perish! Because it's serious. Serious business. Because everyone will stand in the deep carpet. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you can either do it in time or you can do it in eternity. But you will do it. And the Bible says, for I will work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe. No way will you believe it, even though a man declares it. He says, I've just declared to you what is true, and what you do with it will either cast your eternity in heaven or cast your eternity in hell, because this is what it all comes down to. That through this man is preached forgiveness of sins. Verse 42 says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, so not all the Jews were not interested, some were. It says many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. So it wasn't just about religious exercise. They go on Sabbath day. They thought maybe that's the only time that we can hear Paul. But they found out that Paul and Barnabas were there for the week. They weren't working there. They were just hanging out, trying to win people to Jesus, and they followed them. And the Bible says when they were speaking to them, they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now listen, the Bible says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You remember that? That means you have power on that. You can say, I've got the grace of God being active in my life, or I don't. You can let the candle wick fall down to a little smolder. The Bible says that Timothy was told to stir up the gift of God in him, be strong in the grace. He was to stir up the gift. He was to kindle the fire. Get in over your head. Do something you know you should do for Jesus. Go witness to somebody and do it with a heart of humbleness and say, God, I'm scared to death, but I'm going. Do what you can do. Use what is in your hand. This is what the Holy Spirit works through. Be strong in the grace. Continue in the grace. And when you do, you will be able to take anything that comes your way because you will have the manifest presence of God in your life enough to say, you know what? I know that He leads me beside still waters. I know that He goes with me through the valleys of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. The Bible says that they said, you need to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, the whole city was there. You say, wow, that's awesome. The whole city's there. If you remember this, you might put over in your margin Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 32. I'm going to read it for you because this is a verse to a preacher. Ezekiel was pretty excited that the people showed up to hear him preach because they'd been laughing at him for a long time and saying Jerusalem could never fall. But now it has fallen. The Bible says in Ezekiel 33, Son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against you. It says they're still talking against you by the walls and the doors of the houses. And they speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, come to church, I pray. And hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee, as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouths they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them like a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do not do them. For me, that's a wake-up call. Ezekiel was supposed to preach whether they came or didn't come, and when the house is full and when it was not full, he was supposed to preach. And when it was full, he was not supposed to be cowed by the reality. He was supposed to just keep on preaching and realize that many of them would hear but not do. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So we got to be mindful that God's aware of everything. He's the great high priest who walks between the candlesticks. And He's assessing the churches. And if we don't do as well as hear, He will remove our candlestick. The Bible says, when the Jews saw the multitude, they were envious in verse 45. They spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. And they were contradicting, and they fell into even blaspheming the things that these men said about Jesus. And this, the Bible says that then Paul and Barnabas, again, they waxed bold. Remember back there with Elymas? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and boldly said, you son of the devil, and told him what he needed to hear, even though he might not have liked it. And the Bible says they waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but seeing that you put it from you and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Do you see that? You see, the reason we need to prepare our children at an early age, like David was back in the shepherding fields, singing to the Lord and having a relationship with Him, is because when he fell with Bathsheba and with Uriah, he could hear God say, nevertheless, I put your sin from you. But these people had been ritualists all their lives. They had scratched and clawed to the top of their game, and now they were in power. And their minds were skewed, and their vortex that they looked through, they couldn't see themselves as worthy of salvation. They knew who they were. They knew what they were. They knew what they had done. And many of us have had to contend with wounds that we've self-inflicted spiritually. But because God was good and because somehow a verse broke through the darkness and God reminded us, we heard a voice from behind saying, now this is the way. Walk ye in it. And it wasn't a cry. It was a still, small voice, but we knew enough from our childhood, perhaps, to find purchase after we had wounded ourselves. This was what Paul was referring to. You've judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. In other words, you think you really have life. This is not life. It's not about a kingdom on earth for you in this world. It's about the new heaven, the new earth, and the millennial kingdom. And that's another thing. You're in a different part on the planet, and they couldn't hear it. They thought it was only in real time. And many people sell their birthright for a bowl of pottage. What can I have right now? And then they find themselves not able to recover. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded, saying, I have set thee a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Well, the Gentiles heard this and they were glad. Oh, us? Who, me? You know? You and I are the ones he comes to now. The blindness is seasonal for Israel. And it's in part. Not all Jews are blinded, but in part it has happened. And it's seasonal until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And now the Gentiles are on deck. And this is why there has to be a rapture. The church gets out of here. Israel's back on the stage of time and eternity. And God redeems his people just as he said he would. Miraculously and completely. The Bible says in verse 48, they were excited, and the Bible says, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and some would get hung up on this. The word means set, it's tasso. God, as it were, set things in motion, knowing the end from the beginning. He's not surprised. The fact that he put it together shows that he cast the die, but he didn't choose some to believe and some not to believe. He says in verse 46, he says, you have judged yourselves. You've judged yourselves unworthy. God didn't make them do that judging. He says, you put this word far from you. You put it from you. You've gone to blaspheming. You choose where you're going to spend eternity. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says he died for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the entire world. But they can put it from them. And they can count themselves unworthy of salvation. But I want you to know, if you feel that little tickle in the back of your mind, I'm unworthy, I want you to know, God loves you. You are his creation. And he loved the whole world so much, he gave his son to save whosoever would come. But beware, lest it come upon you what was written of the prophets. Behold, stand in awe and perish. The Bible says in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women, literally influential women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution and expelled them out of the city. But look at this. It says, but they shook their dust off their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were all filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't seem to fit. They've just been thrown out of the city. Run out of town on a rail. They were thrown from the city, and yet they're filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So you see why I say a good choice for this chapter to be called is the work of the Holy Spirit. What did he do? He gave them boldness to call people out. He gave them boldness to preach the gospel. He gave them clarity where they should go. He showed them how they ought to quote scripture, how they could catalog things perfectly so that people could understand. It happened. That God showed up, people apostatized. God showed up, people apostatized. And your people in Jerusalem, he told them the story they needed to hear in just the way they needed to hear it. And even though some believed, many did not, and they were cast out of town. And God still was glorified because people were saved, brought into the kingdom forever. Beloved, today, can you see it? Can you see your part in it? You're in a grand narrative. It's an epic. We're at the end of the story. Everybody's supposed to gather around the cross. We're supposed to take note of what we can do, where we're at, what we see, what we can access, and then assess it and say, what can I do to reach somebody for Jesus? This is the job. This is the calling, the ecclesia. You're called out, but you're called to. Now, we need to not be people who hear and do not do. And that is what a preacher preaches for every time he stands, is that we would all realize there's a mission, there's a job, there's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.